Yeah. Five killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, they clear space and time and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to Experience Grind Podcast, the podcast about getting older and the experiences we gain from movies, games, and pop culture. I am Ryan, your host for this episode, and this week we're talking about one of the more obscure movies from Josh Hartnett's catalog, 2017's Oh Lucy. But before we get into that oddball pick from myself, I want to introduce some other oddballs that I'd always pick every week, my lovely co-hosts. First up, let's introduce Sean. How are you doing?
Hey, Ryan. I'm doing pretty good. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Kind of honor of the movie we're talking about, this is going to be a Japanese area. So you're going to have a Japanese name, and you're going to pick from three. Would you
this
like...
This sounds problematic.
Oh, 100%. But there was no way this episode was not going to be at least a little problematic with the movie we're talking about. So I say, sure. Like, fucking embrace it head on.
Yeah. Hit me with them.
So first one, and I'll tell you what they mean afterwards. There are no bad ones necessarily. Maybe some that you might like better, but.
Okay.
There's Shon. Shon.
Okay.
Shou. Or Shoshin.
Ooh. What was the second one?
Shou. Shou.
I think the second one, Shou.
All right.
I think that's the one that I'm going to go with because Shashin sounds too much like my brother's name, and I'm good with that.
I like the first one.
What's
Shun?
Ooh. Yeah, Shon. What's your brother's name?
Shane, because my mom is a sadistic bitch.
Nice. Well, it's oddly relevant for this movie. Shou means soaring sky, because everything in Japanese is oddly nice and beautiful in its translation. Soaring sky.
Yeah, everything in its translation is very beautiful. In honor of this movie, I will say not everything in Japan is beautiful.
No.
And happy.
No, not at all. But before we get to that darkness, let's hop over to our other co-host for this week, Kyle. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I also have a tattoo for every time I've had awkward sex in a car.
How many tattoos do you have?
I have zero tattoos.
You've never had awkward sex in a car.
Hey, there we go, boys. Take that as what? You will.
Huh. I ended up with a stain on my back seat for like 10 years.
Oof.
Yeah, that's the gravy, boys. What?
Literally.
It's all gravy. That's what I meant.
It's all gravy.
It's all gravy, dog.
With the ladle. All right.
Well, Kyle, just like Sean, I've got three names for you to choose from. And yours were much more similar and a lot less diverse. So you have Kairu.
Yep.
Kairu. That one's hard for me to pronounce. I don't know that I can do that one justice. Yeah.
I want to believe Kaito. That it's that four times.
What's the third one? Kaita?
Kaito.
I like the first one.
Kairu.
Kairu, yeah.
All right.
That's what
are you ready
before
for this?
You even started it, I hope that I get Ryu with a K in front of it, so Kairu is.
You get the weirdly specific maple flowing. I don't know why.
What is it?
Maple. Like sap.
Maple flowing.
Maple flowing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
I don't understand it. It sounds, again, it sounds maybe beautiful. You say gross?
No, I said I shoot thick ropes.
Oh no, that's worse. That's gross. Not beautiful anymore. You took worse. Something beautiful and turned
Way
it upside
worse.
Down. Oh.
Kyle's sap is made of maple.
That's right, baby.
Fascinating.
I am all, yeah, that's what they chug at the start of Super Troopers.
Honestly, if this keeps going, it's just going to compound into something way worse. So, hey, off-stream joke.
Yeah. Listeners don't get that. Ha ha. We're laughing. You're not in on it.
We are laughing. You are not.
Well, your other translations were going to be just as easy to turn into a sexual thing anyway. So,
yeah,
I feel like job done. Great.
Was third one a big fat boner?
It translates to thick mahogany, which I didn't see it when I put it down, but now it seems so clear to me. Like, obviously, that was going to be a very sexual one.
Yeah. Thick mahogany. Yeah. That's, like, very specific for one word.
So then it's not thick maple syrup. It's got to be thick maple the wood. So, still funny.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Still good.
Well, you guys, let's talk about, man, it's hard not to get super serial all of a sudden here. We're going to talk about Oh Lucy, which I think I teased last week as being a quirky indie movie starring Josh Hartnett, which I misdescribed because as I revealed
100%.
I revealed to Kyle off stream. I don't know if I revealed it to Sean as well. I did. Okay.
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
yeah, for the listeners, it turns out, surprise, I had not seen this movie. I misremembered this as being another movie altogether. So when this popped up, the only thing I had remembered correctly that it was an Asian woman and Josh Hartnett. Everything else was incorrect. So this movie, I think is one of the first times where we're all coming to it completely fresh, I assume, yeah?
Yeah, I really liked this concept too, that it happened by accident, but I enjoy it's a freshie for everyone, and I want to try to do that more myself.
I actually, every Saturday morning, have watched this for 4 years, and I had no idea that this was the movie. I kid you not, when I was naming my Audacity file, I was like, I named it Ryan's Pick because I've had to look up the name of this movie 3 times today. So my file is named Ryan's Pick.
Oh, man.
But yeah, every Saturday morning, movie, I've watched this for 4 years. It's feel good.
4 years? You've seen this?
No.
Oh.
Come on.
I was gonna say, I remember the name of it because of the non-racist or the phonetic translation that I read that made me laugh last week when you mentioned it, and I have not forgotten it based on that. And in my head,
that's true.
I hear that every time.
That's which could not be so tonally different from the contents of this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh man.
Well, Ryan,
have either you even heard of this one before? Mm-mm. I know you haven't seen it.
No,
I've not. All no, right. I love it though. I love that poster. That poster is so eye catching.
It looks like Jennifer Lawrence sucking on a yellow ping pong ball.
It just looks like an orange. It's just so eye catching. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This is one I remember seeing the trailer for. I apparently juxtaposed it with some other movie in my head, but apparently it stuck around with me, and the title stuck around with me, that now we are watching it, and now we are going to talk about this beast.
I think you were thinking of The NeverEnding Story, Ryan, and nothing close to this.
Oh, I mean, a bunch of sadness in both of them, that's for sure.
Yes.
Some similar darkness and some similar themes, yeah.
Well, why don't we make like a dude jumping in front of a train and get right into this? Ryan, you want to break down this movie?
That's good.
Well, I will say, all right, yeah, 100% I will start. I've got a story synopsis ready to go, and we'll hop into it. But I will say, upon watching this, that opening scene with the man sewer sliding in the subway.
I'm so glad you said that.
Jesus Christ. I just immediately went, I fucked up. I am so sorry, everybody. I tried to make it light in the first scene.
Dog, before I clicked on it, so I was on the page of whatever I was about to stream it on. I watched it on Plex, I think. But it had like the cast of characters and who they're played by right under it, obviously. And the second character was the name of the character, Suicide Man. I'm like, oh, snap. I wonder when that's going to happen. And then the movie starts. I'm like, all right, well.
For me.
There he is. I found him.
Ta-da. Crazy. For me, it wasn't even the fact that he committed suicide in the opening segment. It's that he clearly groped and molested her before he did it. That's what caught me off guard. And I was like, oh, what the fuck are we? What?
Yeah. I was not so surprised when I saw the groping, because that's a huge problem from what I understand over there. Mm-hmm. But like, what I didn't expect was him just walking in front of the train. I was like, oh, shit. Like, how crazy is it that it is that part of that whole scene that caught me off guard? That's so fucking crazy.
I think, they're both equally upsetting. And I think they're both big problems in Japan, which we'll get into. But we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it.
May I say, they should probably put less focus on making their words beautiful and, I don't know, more emphasis on mental health.
Shit. Well, that's true.
Anyways.
But that's honestly everywhere could be way better in dealing with mental health. Like, we as Americans have any room to speak.
It's true. But it's not our fault that everybody that lives, like, next door that we interact with is just a bunch of whiny little babies. They should just get over it, you know?
By next door.
Just get over it.
Do you mean, like, next door country-wise?
Oh, no.
Or God, house-wise. No. Like, literally.
Yeah, across the street. Neighbor. The people you work with. Just get it together. Everybody's got depression. True. Grow up.
Suck it way down deep.
Yeah.
Squeeze it.
Bury it. I don't want to hear
then about it. Scream into a pillow like 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have a lot to talk about this episode.
No, we won't. Yeah,
because these are very healthy ways that everybody should be dealing with depression and loneliness. And
I do want to put out there really quick before this gets really far away, I'm kidding and totally joking.
Mm-hmm. This is a joke show, people. But self-medication is the best medication.
Yeah. I think about it. I wish I had a train that ran here. Ryan, back to you.
So the story of Oh Lucy, it's essentially the story of Setsuko, a lonely middle-aged office worker in Tokyo whose dull life takes an unexpected turn when her niece tricks her into joining an English class. It's in this class that she meets her American teacher, John, a Josh Hartnett, as we all might know, and is given the alter ego of Lucy along with a blonde wig that awakens something in her. During the session with John, Setsuko finds the warmth and physical affection that she's been lacking in her life and immediately becomes infatuated with him. When John abruptly leaves Japan, returning to Los Angeles with Setsuko's niece, Mika, surprise, surprise, John was romantically involved with, Setsuko goes along with her estranged sister and follows them all the way to the United States in a... what the trailers will say, a wacky fish out of comedy, fish out of water comedy. But it's not that. It's fish out of water, but comedy is generous. But during their trip to the U.S., Setsuko embarks on what is the typical indie movie journey of self-discovery, long overdue emotional reckoning, with some big shit happening along the way, which we can get into more so, but I think that kind of sums up the movie enough. To which we'll just go into story. The story is the first section we're going to talk about. That's going to encompass narrative, dialogue, and the writing in the movie. Does anybody have a strong desire to start?
I have the desire for you to pick who you want to hear from most.
Kyle. I'm sorry. Kairu.
Kairu. Thank you. Ryu. Story. All right. So I would say if there's one thing I think Ryan knows about me, that I'm a sucker for an indie darling. And I gotta say, oh, Lucy sucked me in. I really, really was wrapped up into this story. I thought it was great even for a Japanese film. It's very easy to follow. There are some twists, but it makes it pretty obvious and easy to follow. I don't know how to break it down any more than that. The fact that her niece screws her over for the $4,000 and then she goes out and I love the realistic portrayal of like so many things in this movie, like how Josh Hartnett is a total piece of shit. Like he's ruined like five women's lives essentially in this movie, but it's weird that he still has also shines of like good characteristics when like he's obviously upset at the waiter at the restaurant making fun of the Asian women, and he like defends them, and like it's weird, like it's a very human thing about like very flawed people that like nobody is perfect, and I don't know, I really liked that aspect. Really, I alluded to it in my intro story. I really like, and I generally see myself drifting away from sex scenes in movies. I really enjoyed this one for just, again, how, like, realistically it's portrayed. How it's just, like, a quick, dirty thing in a car, like, awkward, and it's just, I don't know, man. I was hooked into every aspect of this movie, and maybe it is a little bit cliched indie shit, but goddammit, that works on me. And this is getting a home run perfect five from me. So, well done out the gate.
Wow, okay. Uh-huh. I was not expecting a five out of the gate. That's fantastic. Sean, I would love for you to follow
up. Man, you mentioning that sex scene. So Sarah last night asked what we were recording about. I'm like, hold on. And I had to look it up. And I looked it up and I described what it was. And she was like, oh, so it's Ryan's week. I was like, yeah. And she goes, is this one going to turn into a porno as well? And I went, well, no, not at all. She goes, softcore? No. And then I watched it, and I'm glad she left by the time that happened, because I would have felt real fucking dumb. So anyways, man, the people who like say that categorize what a movie is really do this movie a disservice, because this is not a comedy like at all. There's a couple of humorous parts, but you can get that in like any movie. Mm-hmm. This movie is depressing as fuck with like in its rapid fire punch after punch after punch after punch with very little reprieve until the end, which was dark as fuck as well. But with that being said, like, it was really well done and well crafted, and it's one of those things where you just keep seeing things. It's like, okay, well, it can't get much worse than this, so like, let's look forward to what's going to be uplifting that's coming up soon. That surprise never fucking comes. Oh, no. It is like this a wallop after a wallop. Sarah left a little less than halfway through to go rock climbing, and she's like, I don't want to go. I want to finish this movie. And I think that there's something to be said for that. Like, maybe this isn't something that I would watch every Saturday morning, but I'm glad that I did, and I think the story really worked, and in the theme of the movie and of the story that it's telling, I think the script, the dialogue, all of that really worked here. And it's going to also, I mean, I can't even knock it for being so goddamn depressing because that's what it's going for. I just want to punch whoever categorizes these movies. So it's a 5 from me as well. So Ryan, let me know what you're thinking about this.
Well, I think I have a lot more to say too about how this film was marketed and the categorizing too. And I think I'm going to pin a lot of my thoughts for the entertainment value category. I feel like that's a good catch-all for it. So I'm going to do a lot of talking right now. I resonate with a lot of this movie for many reasons. I think you two know, maybe some of our listeners know, but like I was an English teacher overseas for 2 years in South Korea, so there are very similar parallels here. Literally my roommate in Korea was named John and was weirdly fucking touchy-feely in the way that Josh Hartnett's character is to students, and in a way I and many people around us thought was inappropriate, but whatever. It wasn't like, it never crossed the line, but it's just like, dude, you're hugging people. Like, come on, what are you doing? Like, professionalism.
Was your classroom in the basement of a techno club?
No, but it wasn't far off, because what these things are, these second English language or second language English schools do, is they hire a bunch of people fresh out of college with degrees, aren't necessarily English teachers, and they're just business owners. They're not school people. They're not anybody. They're people who have money who already own businesses. And usually what it is, at least from the Korean side, was like they own a tower. This one person owns a whole tower. And the first floor is a bakery that their sister owns. And then on the second and third floor is IT that their brother owns. And then on the fourth and fifth floor is the school that they've now bought, and it's a way for people to make money because, like, parents love these secondary private institutions. So once the kids are done with their all-day schools, then they get more English. Or lonely adults who try to find and do things later. I also had, like, a class of, like, 50-year-old plus women, and it was really interesting, to say the least. It was not Josh Hartnett in that situation. But there are so many parallels here. Like, it dug into me, and there is, I will say, like, this is just one aspect where the film feels very authentic. And I think that comes through in a lot of ways.
It feels very real.
It is a drama through and through. This is not a comedy. This is not a feel-good movie. It deals with loss. It deals with loneliness. It deals with mental health. It deals with all these things, and somebody who is not dealing with them well and just makes increasingly poor decisions until she hits rock bottom. And it's not a happy movie, and it deals with this spiral. But I think it is interesting because these movies are worth watching. It's like Schindler's List. Is Schindler's List a fun movie to watch? No, but you should watch it at least once. And I think Oh, Lucy is similar. Is this movie fun? Is this movie a joy to watch? No, absolutely not. But I do think it is written with kind of a little bit of a sense of black humor, that it is kind of entertaining even in its bleakness. I don't know. I really like it. That said, I don't know that I'm at a 5 for it either. As much as I want to speak really positive of it, I don't think it perfected it for me. What it was going for, I think it did it well, but I've seen these themes done maybe better, with maybe like a little bit of a way to balance it all, because this does feel very, very dark. And even at like 95 minutes feels very heavy of a movie, and that it, you feel it. And I do think that comes down to just like the theming in the story, the narrative. So much.
Yeah.
And I think it's admirable how they handle it. I just don't think it was perfect yet. So for me, it's a 4. It's a very enthusiastic 4. And I'm really glad you two are there to pick up the slack for me on that one. To be honest, like, I hate to disagree, but I'm glad you guys went higher. I was expecting to come in and at least one of you really not gelling with this at all.
It's funny, as you were talking, It also made me realize, like, I had just talked about how you're just like waiting for that reprieve, but like every little thing through the movie also really points it. It's, I don't want to say it's predictable, but like a lot of the things that happen by the end of the movie or at the end of the movie were things that I was like, oh, she's going to try to do that. Because like suicide is a recurring thing in this movie. Like there is multiple train suicides that happen in this. It's just one that happens on screen. Like you hear the PAs announcing about like train delays due to an incident. Mm-hmm. And so like with it happening so early, I had a thought of like, oh, I'm sure there's going to be something with her later on, right? And then meeting up with Tom, I'm like, oh, they're going to end up together. Like, those are like the little things that the breadcrumbs that were just left along the way. but like, you still, there's still like that hope of like, come on, something, something else here. But no, I agree with everything that you said as well. But that it, right. Yeah.
Well, then I think we're all pretty much on the same page just about in story. Let's see if that stays the case with characters. Characters is going to cover antagonists, protagonists, the supporting characters, and just the general casting of the movie. Does anybody have a strong desire to start?
I can go first.
All right.
I thought every character in this movie was fascinating. The relationships between all of the characters and all of their motivations, each one of their individual motivations for everything that's going on was so fleshed out. And not like super extensively so, but there was not a doubt in my mind, you know, once you learn the motivations, like, oh, is that what would be going on? No, like everybody's motivations and their reasons for going forward were very clear, very defined. I thought the development of all of the characters was fantastic. I went into this expecting a completely different kind of character of John, played by Josh Hartnett. Like, I didn't want, like, by the time I felt myself really disliking him as a person, I was like, how did I get here? Like, I can see all of the points that we got here, like all of his really creepy long hugs, and like, I found it, as a teacher who teaches English, was it normal to just have someone walk in and you be like, you're Tony now?
Oh, dude. All right. So I will say he's an awful English teacher. For the little bit he is shown for what he does not teach English well. That naming shit is very much true.
That's
they
true.
Like,
okay.
They, at least, again, this is the South Koreans' perspective, but like I've heard it mirrors the Japanese perspective very similarly. They like it to be an English bubble. When the students come in, everything is English. So if you have a Korean name, that doesn't work. You have to have an English name. So usually what that means is the oldest son gets to pick their name, and then if they have a brother, that oldest son gets to pick the brother's name too.
Wild.
So
that's
I had
a really
Kevin
cool perspective
who is really cool, looked like the kid from Up. I loved him. He loved Mega Man. We bonded so deep. And then his like little brother joined the school and he had to have an English name, and Kevin had to pick the name because he was the oldest kid, and he was like, Luigi, because you're number two. And that kid had to be Luigi.
That's great though.
Yeah, okay, so awesome. That definitely helps, because I thought that like his just coldness and like,
yeah, no, it feels super racist and wrong. Oh, it absolutely does.
Okay.
But they believe in like the immersion. Like when you're there, it's all English and it helps with the learning.
I also get it as a way to like practice English names a lot, because if every kid there has an English name, then every kid is practicing all of those English names all the time. And if the goal is to integrate into English society, I see that as like a very logical step. So
It's true.
I don't know necessarily racist. Rather, just maybe a cheap or like a cheating educational tool. Like the kids are learning and don't know they're even learning style thing, you know?
Yeah.
Which is one of the better ways.
The relationship between Setsuko and her sister was, you could just feel how tense it was anytime you saw the two of them together. And like the fact that Setsuko ends up ultimately doing what her sister did to her, well, at least trying to do to her niece what her sister had done to her. And like by the end of it, like, no one's a bad person, but everybody's very much so in the shades of gray, you know, very shades of gray. I thought they knocked it out of the park. I can't really speak to casting because I don't feel like I know enough about Japanese films to even say like, oh, this person would have been better. But I thought Harnett was a great casting. I thought everybody really fit the roles and the looks that they had. This is a 5 for characters from me too. And I would love to hear more from Ryan.
Oh shit. All right. I echo a lot of what you said. I think the characters are very complex. They're three-dimensional in a lot of ways. They all do bad things, but they're not necessarily bad characters, which makes for great drama. Like honestly, it's what compels you in a character piece, and this is a character piece, and the characters are great. I will go one step further, and I will say, speaking to the casting, then I love the casting. Just because maybe it might not be like somebody you know, doesn't mean they're not necessarily great for that role. And I will say, both Setsuko and her sister, and the fucking sister, can't remember. Can't remember the sister's name. Both great actresses, but Setsuko specifically, Shinobu Terajima, is fantastic. I think she's wonderful as an actress. I think she just completely melts into the role. She feels completely real to me, not acting at all. It just feels earnest. I think she's fantastic. I liked Josh Hartnett and what he's doing here, that he's able to use his charisma and turn it like into like kind of a pointed way to like manipulate and not necessarily be charming 100%. Like he uses it in a way that's like weaponizing, and I think that's kind of fun, and it plays into like the stereotype of his character in a fun way. The Megan Mullally jump scare on the airplane was fun.
Loved it.
Shout out to my girl. Like that's it for like the white people essentially. Like that's it. This is mostly a Japanese cast, and I loved who was involved. I just really honestly I cannot sing enough praise for the actress who played Setsuko. She's so fucking good. So for all that, I echo Sean, and I will also give this a 5. Kyle, take us home.
Well, you took my Megan Mullally pull.
That's it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shout out to her. I definitely popped when she was there. God, she just played that cutesy, interested enough foreign lady on a plane perfectly. Really nailed that. And that is to summarize my entire experience with every character in this movie, and I echo what I said in the story, that I love how real and authentic all of them feel. They all melt into the roles. Like, even Josh Hartnett, like, you know it's Josh Hartnett, but it's John. Like, he is that guy in this role. It's very well done. They all kill it. I love the interaction with the tattoo artist that she later goes back to, but when she's first talking to him and he's just being nice on the street. Mailbox. And I really like how it's almost that stereotypical, like, contrast to the Japanese, like, very rigid, refined, self-isolationist culture. The American, like, everybody's just outreachy. Like, she's never met this guy in her life, and he's teaching her how to mail her postcard. And He's just being nice and open, which is, like, I think one of the nicer aspects you used to hear a lot about Americans that, from my understanding, you don't get that no more. And if you travel, maybe tell them you're Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I love the authenticity of every character in this. The awkwardness between people and still, like, I loved how Sean mentioned the tension between the two sisters, but there are still moments when, like, those two, because of their because they're both Japanese, they're also isolated in America, so they rely on each other a lot just for that comfort level. And it's so much of a movie about comfort levels and, like, breaking out of them and trying to find them again in these newer situations. And I loved it. That's why I love indie films, the way they explore these things and present them. And it's also a 5. Bada boom.
Wow.
Holy shit.
This movie's cleaning up.
Yeah, I was not expecting this. I will be completely
honest. It's real! It's indie darling. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I was not expecting this as the credits rolled on the movie. But, like, you start talking about the categories and stuff, and you can't deny, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in talking about that. I think entertainment value, we might start getting some differences here. But that's going to have to wait, because up first we have style. And, again, I offer, does anybody have a strong desire to talk about style? This is going to encompass tone, visuals, sound, and music.
I like what drop where it drops.
All right.
I mean, I can start again. It wasn't until about 3/4 of the way through this movie that I was like, oh shit, I should probably be trying to pay attention to music on here. And from that point forward, I started noticing, like, the music that started accompanying all of these scenes and emotions of what was going on. And honestly, like, a lot of it I found to be, like, really beautiful in, like, a really sad, tragic way, like, every time it started. And even when the credits rolled, and, like, sometimes movies can really overdo it with when the credits hit and you're like, oh, I'm taken out of it. And it's like the movie theater being like, all right, get the hell out of here. But even, like, the credits music was just so sombering, but also with, like, a little bit of light. I just wanted to say I really like the music in this. Man, if this was anything like action movie, whatever one that we had, like, location in, this would, honestly, I think, really clean up in there as well, because no matter where they go, you always kind of, the way that they shot it, what you see in the contrast between California, LA, and Japan, you know, it's very clear to tell when you're in a different location. They crushed it there. I thought that the style of this movie was great, but it wasn't blow you away great. So I'm only going to give style of this movie a 4. And honestly, I think it would be a 3, but music, the music that I paid attention to and heard at the end lifts it up to a 4. And I want to send it to Kyle this time, since I have the power.
Style-wise, this movie is very slick. It's also very, very indie, which is an aesthetic I like. It hits so much of it, that rough, rugged, but still clean aspect in the presentation. I love the things that it gets and exclaims with, like, just the general storytelling of the environments, like how Lucy keeps all of the treats. She doesn't want to eat the treats. She doesn't like sweets. She's a chain smoker. And it's also just sort of her hard put up exterior against her coworkers. And this, like, fake nicety that she doesn't want to partake in, even though she's also so incredibly lonely. She wants to feel realness and authenticness, and she hasn't. I think part of it is they try to explain that it stems from the heartbreak of losing her boyfriend to her sister who marries her. And I also wonder if that is some of the underlying issues between the niece and her. Like, I don't, because it's very weird, or maybe the niece is just a piece of shit like everybody and they all have their flaws. I like the way that Japan is presented as, like I said, the very rigid style, and America has almost this much more relaxed style. Even like the clothing choices of the women, I love how she's wearing like these flannels and more relaxed pants compared to her very tight buttoned up persona like in the business world. Just the way it presents literally everything, how Josh Hartnett is really just a cheap bum loser that's scammed his way through life, and a lot of those tickets are coming up due. I don't know. It's very slick. It's very pretty.
Much like
it's hitting all buttons for me, boys. Styles of five.
You mentioned something in terms of like the storytelling aspect. Another note to like sound is like a big world building aspect of this was the use of PA systems that are just constantly always going on around wherever they are. And they tell a lot of like what's going on in the world around you and really help set that tone of the world. And I also just wanted to shout that out. But Ryan.
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo both of you. I think the production design is very solid and is easily the best part of this movie. I do think the camera and the framing is really good, too. I think the lighting and the style, there's a clear shift between Tokyo and California, which is very nice visually. Like, there's a lot working here for the style. I think the style is very, very nice. If a bit subdued, it's not flashy. It does not draw attention to itself. But I think it's like Kyle said, it's in the small details. It's in how, like, her apartment is packed with shit, or how, like, the English room is in the holdout interior of a karaoke room or a bar. All this is really cool. I think this is it adds interest to the world around them. And so I think I'm right there with you guys. The only thing I would say to the negative on the music front, I agree with Sean that a lot of the music's really, really solid. But I would be a hypocrite if I didn't point it out in the movie I picked, if I pointed out in other movies, but Vanessa Carlton's Walk a Thousand Mile movie. It's getting to the point, it's in so many things, it's becoming cliche to me at this point. And
I think it was presented as cliche. I really enjoyed the way that I felt was like that mostly was singing it softly to himself. And
yeah, but then they do the hard cut where she's enjoying it, and then like it goes the full sound of the song, which means it's more than just that. And it's not just like making fun of him, but like she's fully bought into it. And now, again, isn't this a cool moment we're all sharing in with this moment? It's like, I don't know.
I get why it's
CCR. It's the fucking road trip CCR song. This is now, I think, fucking Ironheart, the Marvel show, just fucking did this. I've seen it in something else this year. I'm tired of that song now. We have used it too much.
I would love to just jump in and say, like, I don't even think necessarily so much as she was enjoying it, but it was like her in the car the whole time was just watching him, and she was enjoying watching him enjoy it. And I think that song says so much about him, and not necessarily, like, I think it's purposely cliched because everything about this guy is such a cliche, scummy American person who liked this. And like, I get what you're saying there, but I felt like because of how, like, this is just the atypical, like, you're in the car listening to it, that it just hit so much more for me personally. But I completely get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'll also just one more defense of it.
Go for it.
I would agree it's probably overblown to American audiences, but I would wager this is maybe one of a handful of Japanese movies that ever even has this song in it.
All right, that's a good defense. All right,
so
that's fair.
Also, we'll say that.
That's
it might be the only fair. Japanese movie with this song.
Take off three that's points for it, Ryan. Bet.
That's an interesting bet. All right, that's fair. Either way, did I give a score?
No. You did not.
All right.
And I missed Kyle's. What was yours, Kyle?
5.
Got it.
Man, I am really on the line between both of you. That said, I really don't think I can knock it for Vanessa Carlton. But I do think, again, like, it's shot so fucking well. Everything is framed beautifully. Nice long cuts where you can just, like, get the acting and get absorbed in it. I really like this style. It's a style that's not going to speak to everybody, and to give it lower would only be to cater to the masses and give people what they want. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it a 5. I loved it. I love the style. I'm right there with Kyle. Let's go wild.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. All
right. With that, now we're going to get into a controversial one. Entertainment value. I was going to combine both of those. Entertainment value is going to have enjoyability, success, and the reception of the movie all considered in the score. And I will start this one just because I've got the scores here. I'll just read them out. Kind of what happened here. So, Oh Lucy debuted. It was an indie movie. I think a very limited release. The budget is not known. Can't find it. But it made about $600,000 at the box office. Probably did not go on to do the much more on video or streaming, I would imagine. This feels like one that's going to live on Tubi, which is not a bad thing. Tubi has some winners, has some hits. Rotten Tomatoes, this fared pretty well. Had a critic score of 98%, an audience of 82%. IMDb, a little bit more kind of conservative in their rating, gave it a 6.8 out of 10. And then a Letterboxd at 3.5 out of 5, which would roughly translate to about a 7 out of 10. So not that much higher. So then we get into the enjoyability and success. So obviously it was not a big hit. It did not have a huge audience shelf life past like the Rotten Tomatoes, because IMDb and Letterboxd do not treat it well. I enjoyed it. I think this is edited quick enough and smartly enough that I won't say an easy watch necessarily, because it is so dark, but it is only 95 something minutes. It's not too terribly long. I think I have to be I also have to be conservative on this one, and I have to weigh in kind of all of it and say, like, this is probably a 3 for me. I think, personally, I'm a little bit more biased. This speaks to me. If it's a Japanese fucking movie, I'm fucking in. I think the language is beautiful. I love hearing it. So, like, that was entertaining enough for me. So this is probably, for me personally, a 4. But if this is for, like, any joke you public on the street, and then, again, weighing, like, the reception, this is probably actually a 3.
So are you going a 3 or a 4?
I think I'm going to have to go with 3.
You're going a 3.
But a 3, okay. I think.
High 3 you're, on the high seas.
Because you're sending to general bleak.
Joke
you. It's bleak. We hinted at the suicide, but like there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 at least 4 attempts.
So you aren't basing your score on entertainment value on your personal how you think the entertainment value of this is. You are rating this entertainment value on the general public. That's I'm just trying to figure this out because I got two different reads.
You don't have to be conservative, because spoiler alert, I have never considered the
I've never considered other people's anybody
enjoyment
else.
Of it.
No.
For
me, like I get and I like to discuss it in this part, but for me, I've always interpreted entertainment value as strictly how I felt and was I entertained. Maximus.
Then I'll go 4. Okay, then yeah. I'll go 4. Yeah. I'll go 4. I was entertained enough.
Fuck the public.
Okay, there you go. Fuck the public.
These are our experiences, dog.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I don't know why I talked about that. This is why I don't understand bringing in, like, the tomato score and all this shit. Because then we're talking about,
it's fun to compare ours to what we end up with compared to theirs.
All right.
We could take section out of entertainment value, though. I'm fine with that.
Then I'm going to say I'm leaning with the critics more so on this one, then. Because, yeah, I'll be a four. I'll be an enthusiastic four at that, too.
Nice.
There
we go.
Thank you, Sean, for talking me into it. I would like for Sean, you to spill now that you had me reconsider. Is that because you are also on the high end?
No. No. What I can relate to is, like, I do find the Japanese language very beautiful. I love watching things in different languages. I told you the other day while we were gaming, like, we're watching Traitors in, like, every language that we can find. And it's so awesome to just hear how different people will talk about different situations. That being said, like, this is a beautiful movie, audibly, and the way that everybody's speaking and what I'm hearing sounds very nice. I don't want to say that this is a two because it's a movie that I hated. I will give this a two because it is, at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to take... It's so weird to subjectify entertainment because I wasn't not entertained. Okay, so it's not a two. I wasn't not entertained, but I can't go above a three on this. I want to give it a two. But I don't want to imply that I didn't like the movie.
I like that justification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're all talking ourselves up 1 point. Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I could lie and say that I am, and I could attribute that to just a funny little quirk about this. I don't know if you guys know that, but we can thank Will Ferrell for this movie.
Yeah, Dirty Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria Rick Sanchez. Or that's it.
Gloria Sanchez was the... women-focused offshoot of Gary Sanchez, and Gloria Sanchez is still around, even though Gary has been dissolved, because he's no longer partners with Adam McKay. He is still partners with the lady who runs this, who was his former assistant that he started this offshoot with. And it produces only female-led projects.
I see.
So, thanks, Will Ferrell. Big shout-out, buddy.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about this, but directed by a woman, written by a woman, obviously main star by a woman, so very...
Very funny that I'm thanking the only man.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Way to go!
Way to make
we
this
did it, white did guys. It, Will Ferrell. We you did finally it. White did American it. Man.
We did it, white guys. We finally got a win.
He should make a podcast.
He should. I think he does, actually. If he doesn't, I don't know.
He's probably been on a lot of them.
Entertainment value. Again, I don't know if I'm the weird outlier, although I think I will be. I don't know. I feel like Ryan also has the weirdo drama bone a lot. But maybe I'm just much more of a sucker, especially, like, again, I don't know why you think it'd be more him, but a foreign film I'm going to just fall for almost every time. I'm a sucker for a foreign film, indie film, drama film, you combine them all. To me, that's a goddamn good time, boys. I had a fucking fantastic time with this movie. I want to watch it a lot, just like I do so many other depressing movies. I got my free money's worth out of it, and then some. I would like to maybe buy this. I think it's a Criterion. This is another big five for me, boys. And I mean, spoiler alert, think what you want about Director 2, but it's not going to be a shocker.
yeah,
really, really great week for me this week. Thank you, Ryan. Hey, I really enjoyed this a lot, man. This hit every button, every box that I have for this type of movie is perfect. So, absolutely nailed.
The more that Kyle talked, the more that, like, I'm feeling more comfortable with my three, and honestly, feeling like three might be low, but I'm still gonna stick there. I'm gonna stick to my guns.
Same.
Love the movie. Love everything about it except for the story. Well, the subject matter.
I'm happier that I went with a four. I don't mind the subject matter. I think, and this is why my entertainment value is probably going to be the lowest category, is because I went into it knowing we were going to talk about it and that I recommended it to all of you. And I really thought somebody was not going to have a good time with this. And maybe because Brian's not here, maybe we were saying maybe Brian was going to hate this. Maybe Brian was the one who hated it. But like, I don't know if you all do this too, but like when you recommend a movie, like that, and then like you're on pins and needles when you're watching it too, because you're thinking about how they're going to react sometimes to it too. So
no,
like you can't like get into like the mindset properly. That's a little bit how it was.
No, it happens. I recommend stuff and I'm like, man, everybody's going to like this. And then I'm like blindsided. I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about Willy's Wonderland and I'm like, how the fuck did Kyle not like Willy's Wonderland? You know?
I mean, I did not like Willy's Wonderland at all. You were talking about it to this day. I don't get it. And I was like, yeah, that movie fucking sucks.
God damn.
I've not seen it, so I can't say anything.
Man.
I'm sorry.
It is.
But there are other people that do like it. I might be the outlier. It just did not work for me, but it's okay.
Oh, no. Apparently, I am the outlier in liking it. I was just surprised.
That's okay. Like what you like. Don't fucking matter. Do it. Exactly. Like Mike. Like things like Mike.
Yeah. Just do it.
All right. Nike. We're going to move on to the direction Sponsor category. And this is from Atsuko Hirinagi, who has not done too many other movies. This, I think, was her first feature-length film at the time, and this came from a short film kind of based with the same actress. That then led into this much longer feature. In this, we're going to talk about the vision and the execution of Atsuko here. Again, I'm going to put this out to anybody who feels strongly. Does anybody want to lead this off? If so, I'm happy to. Or I can pick up.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about being able to direct people. You know, it's like, I think very often we talk about in this category, like how well they've been able to capture their vision for the movie or what shots they use, how they were able to utilize their budget. But I think there's a lot to be said for Atsuko's directing ability and being able to direct every one of these actor and actresses in having the most like realistic and believable relationships that I've seen on the screen, and like the subtle little nuances, like you got
Setsuko
like kind of hiding behind her door a little bit when Sakura comes over and is trying to figure out what's going on with their daughter and all of that. And there's just like little tiny details that I think really took a keen eye to make happen on the screen, and they're just everywhere, whether it be that or like directing Josh Harnett, and like when you've got Satsuko confronting him at the hotel after they've slept and she's gotten the tattoo, and like his reaction to that. I thought it was very impressive. I thought it was well done. It says a lot about the actors and actresses in here, but also takes somebody and their vision kind of making that happen. I mean, I'll let other people talk about the other aspects, but I thought that this was a four. This was a five for me in direction. Ryan.
I think this is a really solid showing from Atsuko. I really like a lot of choices she made here. I think I've already talked a lot about the framing, but maybe it's just because recently we've been watching so many movies in like that 2.35:1 aspect ratio, like the real widescreen. Like Now You See Me was that wide screen. And this one uses like the full 16:9 screen. So when you get in like a shot of a face, you get like all of the detail. You can see every little bit of emotion. And this is kind of like when you can see like great acting. in my opinion. There's like theatrical good acting, Daniel Day-Lewis, if you want to jerk off for some. He's very theatrical and fine, very overrated. But for me, like, an actor is somebody who can sell something very small, who can like fucking make you believe something with like a very small, like little eye twitch or just like a small little facial movement. And I think a smart director is able to know when to like push in that camera and get those emotions. I think Asuko does that very well here. I think Setsuko, like in like a lot of the close-ups on her face, like we're able to like know exactly how she feels, how she thinks, how she's like reacting to everything just based on her emotions. And I think that is phenomenal. This is both a testament to the acting and the direction, but if we're going to go more on the direction side, I will say like there are clever little directorial things to do, like the decision to open with like the very shocking, gruesome, very low point thing of being groped and then having to witness a man sewer slide in a subway. And then in the movie, in the subway station, with a very hopeful, like uplifting scene where like you kind of find humanity and you move away from that after like a lot of darkness. And like there are things like this. I think, shit, what's the Bradley Cooper movie with Lady Gaga? That's a remake.
Stars Born.
They hint at suicide in a very sloppy, obvious way, which is like Bradley Cooper just at one point in a car pulls up and there's a giant fucking poster of a noose outside that says like, considered your life or something. And it's very on the nose. And you're just like, even if you have never fucking seen any version of A Star Is Born, you're just like, that dude's gonna kill himself because it's so fucking obvious. I think what
I've never seen the movie and I knew that.
Yeah. Well, what I think the director here is able to do is kind of hint at something very dark coming and you never know who it's going to come for. And I think that suspense is held up until the fucking like last 3 minutes, maybe,
you
of the movie.
Liked Pills only since you were a kid.
Only like that final subway scene is maybe like when you have a time to breathe, because everything else you're wondering like, is this person gonna die? Is this person gonna die? Is this, because there's just so much sadness and despair, and like that's all part of it. And I think she's able to all craft this in an interesting way, that's surprising and fresh. This is going to be a reserved 5. I talked myself up. I was gonna be an enthusiastic 4, but I think I'm gonna go a reserved 5. I think this is a great first showing. I think it's tragic that we've not had many, many films from Atsuko from this point on. I'd love to see more. I really would.
Mm-hmm. Same. I won't go too much deeper because, like I alluded to, I'm also a 5 here. I just, weirdly enough, I will bring it back to the car sex scene really resonated with me, or like just the awkwardness, how she forces herself onto him and his reluctance, but then also like he does of course go along with it, and how quick and dirty it is. And I love how awkward she's made it that she's used her niece's shampoo, and she even alludes to that fact to try, because she's got it down bad for this guy. And just all of that, man, it captures so much and presents so much in what this lady can do, and I loved every bit of it, man. Total 5. Absolute nailed it. So see this movie, y'all. It does things to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Boys, I did not. Okay, so sometimes when you look at scores, and Ryan, you've gone over some of these scores earlier, you are never quite able to know where to place them. Much like on the Patreon that we did last week, where we played that IMDb score game. Sometimes you are never able to know where something's gonna go. I knew we would be much higher probably than IMDb, mm-hmm. but I wasn't sure where we were gonna land. But based off of everything that we have gone over and the scores that we have assigned, we have given this movie a 93.
Holy shit.
I feel very happy about that.
Which is one of the higher movies in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Since, I think, Ryan's last movie.
I like this way more than that one, by the way. I did want to point that out, too.
What was my last movie? Was Hot Rod.
Not Hot Rod, the last Asian-centric movie. The Handmaiden?
The Handmaiden?
The Handmaiden.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm flip-flop.
And I liked Handmaiden a lot. I like this way more.
I'm flip-flop.
That scored very high.
I'm flip-flop with you there.
Yeah. But I feel like that really feels appropriate for hearing everybody's thoughts about this. And like, yeah, it's a dark movie, but you can't just watch nothing but comedies and, you know, actual action comedies movies. And, you know, other things all the time.
Well,
there
you
is
can.
A darkness in the world.
You can.
You can.
It's just...
You're going to live a very skewed life.
There's something fun about the darkness, too.
Yeah.
It's nothing but dark.
Yeah. So, well, Ryan, I definitely am so glad that you brought this to the table, and I'm glad that you had never seen it before. It was really nice to watch a movie like this that you had no idea what you were getting into once it started, and so it was nice to get a truly fresh take.
Thank you all for going with the journey on me and just trusting any movie I pick, even if I've not seen it. I kind of like the going into a movie blind, too, and just not having preconceived notions and hoping, like, you all feel one way or the other about it. I think there's something interesting about that, too. I'm glad this is not a big stinker because they could have easily been. So I'm glad you all responded to it. And, you know, always I appreciate you guys for just giving any of these things a chance. But what are we talking about next week? Next week would be
Kyle.
Senior Kairu.
I did almost think about starting my own one-off September special and going with like a stop motion September sort of vibe. But I'm not. I'm sticking with what I'd originally done. I think since the new format has adopted, I'm the only one that hasn't done a weird out of left park or left field kind of one-off thing. But something's been on my mind a lot lately. I kind of talked to you guys about it last week. And it's probably a nostalgia thing, but I remember, especially during the summer months when we were off from school, I just loved to stay up all night till like 5 in the morning.
Much
blurry. And one of the things that you so frequently come across at those wee hours of the morning are infomercials. And I fucking love infomercials.
Okay.
So I want us all to kind of bring like, think about infomercials that we remember. And I want to broaden this out to include like the 2-minute commercials for like mix and compilation CDs or of things of that nature too. It doesn't
those
have
are
to
ones
be...
that I consider in that.
Yeah. Those I think those also do consider in as well as I'm more used to.
It doesn't have to be product based.
The 30-minute to hour long like specials about like how to use a product too. But I want it to be all encompassing and I think 5 is a good number. It can, hopefully, number one, it kind of spreads it out, so maybe multiple people have the same one that they can all talk about at once.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you consider the 45-minute long Girls Gone Wild
that would things definitely that be one. And for that, like, I would also like to say, also think of probably just a couple of honorable mentions that, like, maybe if they don't get mentioned, you at least want them to be referenced. They don't have to make your list, but you do want them to get brought up. So I think 5, maybe, should we do 4? Let's do 4. Let's be weird.
4?
Top 4.
4 sounds.
I like
it. 4
so
could
top
be good.
4 infomercials. Specifically, I'm probably doing 80s and 90s, but there's no set limit. And yeah,
I'm going to be very flexible too. With what I consider an infomercial.
Yeah, I think you should be. And no extra editing, Sean. No like sound clips or anything. Maybe if
I certainly hope not.
I'll see. I do. I gotta get you. Set It and Forget It in there. I think that has to be. It's one of the most famous ones of all time.
Okay. Well,
or, what's it from? What's it from?
It's from the Ronco Rotisserie. Or most of his cooking.
I would not have known that.
Yeah, you said it and forget it.
I know the phrase.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the product. Wait, so is it
hold
successful?
On, I thought Set It and Forget It was a slow cooker.
That's what I said. I think it's for a lot of his kitchen devices.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's like the Ronco slogan. That's why everybody says it in the, you said it and forget it. The audience screams it with him every time. Because
I thought you said rotisserie. For some reason,
I think that's what I think it's the rotisserie, the slow cooker. I think it's like his thing. He wants you to be able to set up your food and then go do other things. It's
for easy. I'm sure we're going to chat
next
more
week.
About
I tell you
this.
What, we're going to talk Ronco.
Yeah, so. And I'm sure we're going to continue talking more about this or something as you know we go off the air here. But if you have enjoyed yourself and you want to hear what we're going to be talking about. You want to hear the little weird shit that we get into when we go off the air? Head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/experiencegrind, which you can find right in our linktree/experiencegrind. You'll find that, the Discord link, our socials, all of that good jazz. And if you aren't in the Discord, why not? Seriously?
It does pop up.
Get in there. But yeah, I can't wait to see you two over in the Patreon. And hope you guys join us. So, Ryan, we can get over there. Why don't you take us out?
Well, I think with that lovely wrap-up, listeners, go hug yourself. Give yourself a nice long hug.
I like that.